We continue to remember Kobe Bryant, of course, his tragic death in a helicopter crash. And I think somebody that lends a very wonderful perspective is a man that I've known for a long time, respected. And of course, he was in the NBA as a referee for 25 years. Most of that, of course, overlapping Kobe Bryant's 20-year career with the Lakers. And he received the prestigious Gold Whistle Award from the National Association of Sport Officials. And he's the first referee to be elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Board of Trustees. I'm referring to Bob Delaney. Bob, your NBA officiating career almost covered Kobe's entire NBA playing career. Tell me about the first time you saw him play.
Yeah, when he came in as a rookie, 96. I remember, you know, everyone talking about that the great Jerry West had made this trade for this young player. And it always struck me about how Byron Scott had such a mentoring role with him. And you could see him listening. And you just knew that this was a young man that was so attentive to every aspect of the game. And then to watch him mature as I did. Ron, I've worked two All-Star games. One in 1998 at Madison Square Garden, and Michael Jordan was the MVP of that game. Kobe played in it. And then I had the second All-Star game I had was my last season, which was in 2011 at Staples, and Kobe was the MVP there. And it struck me in thinking about that, that two of the most amazing, dedicated, committed, focused, intense athletes that I've ever seen in my life. I had the honor of being on the floor with them for many occasions, but on those two particular occasions when they became the MVPs of the All-Star Games.
One of the things that impressed me, and you just touched on it, about when he came into the league, he was only 18 years old, and you're going into something that's high pressure, expectations evaluated on a constant basis. Tell me about that first year, second year about him. What did you notice as far as the changes as he matured as a basketball player?
Well, his confidence level was always at a very high level. He believed he was going to make every shot, and I don't think he looked at himself as a rookie or a young player. He thought of himself as, I'm part of this team and I'm going to lead. And that was always something. But one of the things, Ron, I want to share with you, he had a tremendous sense of humor. And he had a way to stay balanced. You know, we all talk about how intense he was, and he was. I mean, he was amazing. But I just want to share a story. I had a Sunday afternoon game, and as you know, the Lakers wear their white uniform on Sundays at the Forum or at Staples. And early in the game, it was a TV game, and it was an afternoon. And early in the game, I had a foul on Kobe, and I go and report it, and now I go to the trail position. He starts walking towards me, and he's got a look on him, like a stern look, and he's got a little scowl on his face, and I'm preparing for an argument about the call, and he stands right next to me, looks at me, and I'm waiting for this complaint to come, and all I hear is, what was it like wearing a wire with those mob guys? That had to be pretty cool. He turned the tables on it. He made me laugh because you're prepared for one. And he knew exactly what he was doing at all times. He calmed the waters. He made things better. He knew when he wanted it to be intense, and he knew when he wanted it to be calm. And he had such a great sense of humor. And he got a kick out of the fact that he got me.
I will also share a story for the listeners out there that has a connection here, and that is that Bob and I were over in Iraq as we were over visiting the troops, and I broadcast Sports Byline over there, and we went up to Erbil in the northern part of the country, and we're being shown around the country, and it was pretty safe for us up there, and we went into a kebab restaurant, and Bob has his NBA shirt on, his warm-ups on, and this kebab restaurant has an open kitchen. And as we come into it, it was the only time Bob and I ever had dinner with guys manned up with M16s. But as we came in, there was a young 16, 17-year-old kid who was cooking in the kitchen, and he looks up and he says, you, pointing to Bob Delaney, and said, you're the guy that threw Kobe out of the game. And I'll never forget that.
Yeah, the power of the media, right? It's, but it's also the power of sports. Because it's not about just the points or on the scoreboard and the wins or losses. It's the games and the environments around sports. causes for us to get together and create memories. And I think, Ron, what hitting is all of us so hard is not only this iconic basketball player and this great artist that we've lost, but a father with his daughter, of family members of the Altobelli and the Mauser and the Chester families, the pilot. It's such an empathy that's going out and a pouring, because we all have families. Some of us have kids. Some of us have wives. Some of us have significant others in our lives. And we know what that loss is for these families. And it's just an outpouring of empathy and love that you sense in our society. And it's amazing how Kobe brought us around the TV to watch ball games. And now at a time in our society where we're more divided than we are together, you see our country united, the world united around Kobe. There's so many layers to this, and such a difficult, and you're seeing people cry. I cried. I mean, I cried, and it's not like I'm with him every day, but there was such an attachment to understanding who he was and how he did what most of us want to be able to do, be the best we can be at what we did.
Yeah, when talking to Adonel Foyle, who, of course, played against him in the NBA, he was on with me on a previous show, and we were talking about Kobe, and he said, you know, I've been crying all morning, and I think all of us were moved to tears, and I think the legacy of him and how he touched people, I said this on the air the other day, was the fact that if you look at Staples Center, if you look at where the accident happened and the people that showed up, they were people from every walk of life. I mean, there were African-Americans, Hispanics, there was Asian-Americans and everything. And there aren't too many people that can bring people together like that and have that type of an effect.
I agree, Ron. And here's another level of, you know, I'm on the board of TAPS, which is Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. You know, our fallen troops, families, there's over 90,000 families in TAPS. And when I moved into the position as NBA Vice President Referee Operations Officials after my career as a referee on the floor was over, my interactions with the teams was different. And so one of the things that we did is we would bring families to games. And I'll never forget the day we brought a family to the Lakers. And Kobe put the little guy inside his locker so he could have a picture in Kobe Bryant's locker after the game. Kobe spent time with that family. It wasn't just a photo op. He spent time. He gave hugs. He talked to them. He asked about that fallen soldier and had the kids talk about their dad, had the wife talk about her husband. That's the kind of guy, that's what you remember about him. He was a good man. He was a kind soul.
From a basketball sense, you said something that struck me because I remember an interview I did with Michael Jordan. And he said something to me that I'll never forget, and I've used this on the air a number of times. He said, when the game is on the line, I want to be the one to determine the outcome. If I succeed, I'll take the glory. If I fail, I'll take the blame. And as you know, not too many people are comfortable with taking the blame. But you mentioned that about Kobe as well. They had that together, did they not?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. There's such a parallel between the two players, and I think it's generational, right? Today, one of the things, you know, I'm with the Southeastern Conference, the SEC doing work, and our concern is that we want to make sure that from a mind health, you know, mental health, I call it mind health, no different than physical health. We want to make sure that today's student athletes have all the resources available to them because they're grieving now. Because this was their idol. This was their guy. I had some of them say to me, I grew up with Kobe. Even though he doesn't know me, I grew up with him. And I think it's generational, right? I mean, if we go back, you think about the connection that we had to Larry Bird and Magic. You think about the folks that had connections to Michael. This generation of student athletes that are at the collegiate and pro level are connected to Kobe. He was their mentor in so many ways. Follow him. And you're so right, Ron. He had an intensity about him. When he was on that floor and they were down by 8 and it was a minute to go, he believed they were going to win. And he was going to do everything he could to drive his team. Maybe they didn't, but he was going to make every effort.
I don't know whether you were on the floor when he had any of his big games. Of course, he scored 60 points in his last game. He had 61 points against the Warriors in one game. And I'm just wondering, you've been around this game. You've been on the floor with some of the greatest names. You've seen great performances. But what was it about him that when he got going, you just could not stop him?
Yeah, I mean, his athleticism was off the charts, but it's well documented, his work ethic. And so I had the game in Madison Square Garden where he had 61 points, and that was in February 2009, if my recall is correct. And while the game's going on, when you're refereeing, you're aware that a player is on a roll, but I'm not aware of how many points he has. It didn't strike me until Spike Lee is yelling out, "It's a Roger Maris game. It's a Roger Maris game," because of 61 coming from the sideline. I mean, these are the memories that, and you remember his intensity, but he always had tremendous form, and he had great body control as he got to the basket. Just a tremendous, tremendous athlete and a good, good human being.
Were there any other nuances, little nuances that other people would not see, but somebody like yourself so close to him, at least in proximity when you were doing a game, that still stay with you today, Bob?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as he grew, how he was able to make other players better. Early on in his career, he was more of a one-on-one kind of player. And as he grew, and, you know, that duo, when you think about it, if Shaq and he had stayed together, what could have happened? That's amazing, two tremendous athletes. And they had a heck of a duo going there. The whole team, the whole franchise was tremendous. And it's always been a first-class organization at the Los Angeles Lakers.
I think for all of us, especially you and me, that we lament more than anything else, and I'm sure there are others that feel the same way that we do, about the next chapter in his life. He was looking forward to it. He had won Academy Award for a film that he had done. And I just shake my head every time I think about what, you know, was laying ahead for him that he could have done.
That's so true, Ron. I think he taught NBA players in so many ways, because you've heard me speak so many times. If you are what you do, then when you don't, you aren't. He was not worried about that identity of being an NBA basketball player. He was moving on to be involved and start new chapters in his life. You know, David Stern always said there's always a next act. And so true with Kobe. He was ready for his next act. And I think he led, because if you remember when D. Wade retired, he knew that he had to prepare for his retirement, and he was speaking along that line. And I truly believe it's because of how Kobe did it, that players were able to say, my career is not over. It's just beginning. And, you know, I'd share this with you, Ron. You know the work that I do with post-traumatic stress and grieving.
Right.
And I've been sharing with people that there's two deaths that take place. There's a physical death, and they talk about the death the last time someone speaks your name on this earth. Well, what I know is that there will never be a second death, because Kobe will live on forever. He will live on in his spirit. He will live on in his direction that he's given to so many others. We will hear about him for generations and generations to come, because there's no doubt in my mind the NBA is going to have an award that is going to be given out every year that will, you know, model what his spirit was.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I thought the same thing. And, of course, I'm happy to hear the NBA and professional basketball is going to put him into the Hall of Fame when they put in the next class. I want to thank you, Bob. We've been friends for a long time, and your insights on Kobe's career and Kobe's life, very, very insightful, and I know that a lot of people are going to be very happy to hear what you had to say. Take care, my friend.
Thanks, Ron. Stay safe.
Bob Delaney, former NBA 25 years officiating in the league, and he received the prestigious Gold Whistle Award from the National Association of Sports Officials, and he's also the first referee to be elected to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame Board of Trustees. And what he had to say about Kobe in that first game when he was just a teenager coming into the NBA, and what he was like back then and how he grew and the confidence that he got. Very insightful words. I hope you enjoyed them. We continue across the country and around the world. Good to have you with us on Sports Byline.